Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
How are we all? How do you like my shoes? I figured if I wasn't anointed, at least the shoes are tonight. That's what I thought. Well, I want to maximise the time that we have together. How many of you love James and Tammy Edwards? Honestly, you guys are phenomenal. For many years, Tammy was actually my personal assistant. She was my PA. Yes, she was. And because of a change in my circumstances, I had to let her go. And I remember saying to her, Tammy, I'm sure God's got something much bigger and much better in store. And what do you know, now she's my flipping pastor. That's what's happened. So, and I just want to appreciate Pat and Amanda as well tonight, dear friends of mine. And yeah, let's appreciate Pat and Amanda. I know this is home location for us, but I'd never take this platform for granted. So I'm really blessed to be here. Look, I want to start by sharing a story with you. I don't know if you're familiar with this image I'm about to throw up here. Here we go. Who's heard the story about the golden toilet that was stolen in the last couple of weeks? This, my friends, is actually a work of art. It's a piece of art. It's a sculpture by an Italian artist called Maurizio Catalan, worth about $6 million. For a few years, it's been on display at the Guggenheim in New York. They decided to loan it to the Blenheim Palace in England. Was there 2 days and it got stolen. True story. It got stolen. Now, so you know, it's a functioning toilet. It actually was connected to the plumbing. And so they thought it would be okay. No one would steal it because, you know, it's a fixture. It's actually connected to the plumbing. I'm looking at this on television. And I said to Damien, how on earth could that happen? Without even blinking, he said, it's an inside job. An inside job. For those of you who are wondering what an inside job is a crime committed by or with the assistance of a person living or working on the premises where it occurred. And they usually have access to inside information that makes the theft possible. Now, I'm not going to talk about crimes tonight, just so you know, but I am going to talk about an inside job. Turn to your neighbour and tell them it's an inside job. The theme this month, we're focusing on the heart. And I want to start with prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you for every person here tonight under the sound of my voice. Lord, I don't know everyone here by name, but you do. And I don't know what everyone's going through personally, but you do. And I love how you can take what I say and speak it to each person right where they're at. So Holy Spirit, I pray, have your way and have your say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. In the Passion Version, it says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. The New Living says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And the Message says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Life starts on the inside. It starts with your heart. Actually, it doesn't start with your head. Yep, it's not based on your IQ. Some of us are very relieved about that. It doesn't start with your hands, what you do. It starts with your heart. Your heart is the engine room. It's the principal source of your life. And the life that you see on the outside is actually a reflection of your heart that you can't see on the inside. Now, as a disclaimer, let me just make something clear. Not everything that happens to your life is because of your heart. There are tragedies, injustices. Yep, there'll be losses, betrayals. Stuff will happen, not because of what's happening in your heart, but because of what's happening in somebody else's. But what we actually do as a result of what happened to us will actually determine the direction of our life. And what's more, there will be good stuff that happens to us, not because of the good stuff in our hearts, but because of the good stuff happening in someone else's heart. Does anyone else know what it is to receive something that you know you absolutely don't totally deserve in any way, in any form or fashion, purely because of the goodness of somebody else's heart? But this is the thing, I find that we tend to underestimate the significance of our heart rather than overestimate. That there are situations in life that we want changed and we are yet to join the dots, that they are a direct result of something that is happening inside. And that situation won't change. You won't receive a shift in your life until you receive a shift in your heart. And so that's what I want to focus on tonight. Don't underestimate the part that your heart plays in how your life looks. More than anything else tonight, I want to sound an alarm, right? I'm not a teacher, capital T. I'm not about to give you a whole list of points of things that you can actually do, but I do want to raise your awareness. I do want to sound a prophetic alarm that God wants to do something in our hearts tonight. I love this quote from a Christian philosopher, Dallas Willard. He says, "The revolution of Jesus is in the first place and continuously a revolution of the human heart or spirit. It did not and does not proceed by means of the formation of social institutions and laws, the outer forms of our existence, intending that these would then impose a good order of life upon people who come under their power." Very eloquent, isn't he, old Dallas? "Rather, his is a revolution of character which proceeds by changing people from the inside through ongoing personal relationship to God in Christ and to one another. It is one that changes their ideas, beliefs, feelings, and habits of choice, as well as their bodily tendencies," we're not going to go there tonight, "and social relations. It penetrates to the deepest layers of their soul." I've been in New Zealand for the past week, and as it so happened, I got to spend time with a pastor with a doctorate in theology. So I got to actually run my message, pastor theologian. Because in my study of this theme, in leading up to this Sunday, something struck me that had never struck me before. And so I ran it past Dr. Adam Dodds, and he said that I'm quite legit in coming to this conclusion. And it's this: the heart is spirit. We're talking about the heart tonight. I want you to know what we are talking about. We're not talking about a regular heart. The heart of a believer is not a regular heart. The heart of a believer is not any ordinary space. I'm not talking about emotions tonight, although the heart can feel. I'm not talking about psychology, although the heart can think. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I'm not talking neuroscience, behavior modification, self-improvement, or adjusting your attitude, although I do believe in all of these things. But what I want to highlight tonight is the fact that your heart is supernatural. Your heart is spiritual. And it is in your heart where you and God connect. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is in your heart. And He is doing an inside job. It's an inside job. Jesus is in your heart, and that's a game changer. Oh, but Vicky, Jeremiah 17:9. Doesn't that say that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else? And who can know it? Not anymore. Not if you have Jesus in your heart. It's not deceitfully wicked. I'm not saying we can't be deceived. I'm not saying we can't mess up and stuff up, because we can. But you have somebody now on the inside. Yeah. And his name is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with God." Jesus is one with your heart. Yeah. Did you know through the Word of God that the word heart and spirit is often used interchangeably? Yeah. When we talk about our heart, we're talking about our spirit. And when you gave your life to Jesus, you became one spirit with God. It's not you down here and God up there from a distance. Like you're living in two separate universes. You are one with God. The Holy Spirit in your spirit. Jesus is one with your heart. In Psalm 51 verse 10, David said, "Create in me a clean heart." I've been meditating actually on this verse for months, even before I realized I was going to be speaking on this subject. Create in me a clean heart. You got the Creator in your heart tonight. And he is creating. You are not on your own in this business of transformation. It's not all up to you. Jesus is committed to your freedom and your transformation. And he's on the inside. And there's an inside job going on by the insider. And he's got inside information. In your heart comes first. Your heart comes first. That's where transformation takes place. Now, I want us to just underline. I want you to become aware. I really want to just highlight, bold, italics, whatever it takes, to draw this to your attention. The connection between our heart and the spirit realm is so powerful. There's an exchange. There is supernatural stuff going on in your heart. So much so, Romans 10, 9 to 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What happens in your heart will affect your eternal destiny. What happens in your heart will cause you to relocate spiritually, will cause you to change spiritual address from darkness to light, from death to life. It's really important what we do with our hearts, because the Word of God says out of it flows the issues of life, even eternal life. So this heart business, look, we do have a part to play. I'm making much about the fact that Jesus is in our hearts, that it's not all up to you, that he has a part to play in creating within us a new heart, but we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to tend to our heart, to keep it, to guard it. Often use the analogy of like a garden, removing the old, weeding out the bad, putting in the good. We have responsibilities. Only we can repent. Yeah, only you can forgive that person who's offended you. Only you can extend forgiveness for that. I'm Italian, I find that really hard, to be honest. But only you can forgive the person who has wronged you. Only you can love your enemies. Only you can put the Word of God in your heart. Only you can meditate on those things that are going to bring change and transformation. But the insider is on the job. He's the one who is moving things that man can't move. He is the one who's identifying and putting his finger on things. And he is there within your heart, bringing things to the surface and bringing people across your path who will be key in seeing you come to freedom, seeing you go to the next level. This thing of transformation, it's not something that is up to you. It's an inside job. And he's revealing tonight. I believe tonight there are going to be some aha moments. I believe the Holy Spirit of revelation is here tonight. And he's going to open up eyes to see and to make connections you've never made before. To understand your problem actually isn't a financial problem. It's a heart problem. That your problem actually isn't a relationship problem. It's an unforgiveness problem. That the problem actually isn't your partner, it isn't your friend, it isn't your parent. That the problem is something going on the inside of you. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what you haven't seen before. Who knows what it is to have a rude awakening? Anyone knows what it is like? Oh, I didn't see that before. I'm praying for that to happen all over this place tonight. Yeah, for you to understand that the life that you see is actually a reflection of your heart that you don't see. And that shift hasn't taken place in your life yet because the shift hasn't taken place in your heart. In 1992, I moved from Perth, Western Australia to Brisbane, Queensland. Were they the Perth people or the Queenslanders? I don't know. Woo! And I actually went for a 5-month prophetic training school. And as a part of that course, we had to go through compulsory counselling. So there's some prophetic counsellors in the church. So in order to graduate, you had to go through the counselling program and for them to actually check that you're all in order, if there was anything that needed to be addressed. And as a part of that counselling process, what came up was this. I had huge issues with my dad. Huge issues. Now, I knew that. That wasn't a revelation. That wasn't news to me. I knew we had a very strained relationship. Just to give you the picture, my dad, an Italian migrant, he came out from to Australia in 1951 at the age of 20. So he was a real deal. He was quite an old school Italian, and we butt heads a bit. But more than anything, I resented him for this. My dad was a workaholic. He worked every day of the year without exception. He was a taxi owner driver. And literally, when we woke up in the morning, he was already out working the cab. He'd come home 6 o'clock at night for dinner for about an hour, watch the news, and he was off again, working the cab, and we never saw him again. And that's what life was like every day. We never, ever went on family holidays. I don't recall my father ever coming to any of my school events. Can't remember him coming to any graduations, except my university graduation. And I have one photo, and I think Mum and Dad must have had a fight that night, because when you look at it, it looks like they're at a funeral, not a graduation. We look at their faces. But I had a lot of resentment because I had taken it on as rejection. I'd felt rejected by my dad. But in this time of counselling, the insider was starting to work. Jesus on the inside was doing an inside job. And he caused me to be aware of some things. He caused me to see it through a different perspective. And it was this. I felt the Lord say to me, Vicky, you got to remember, your dad brought up in war-torn Italy. They knew incredible poverty, my family. I mean, they were basically refugees when they came to Australia. Some of the stories were just horrendous. My father witnessed the bombing of locals in his village. In hindsight, he probably suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. He lost 2 brothers in the war. Just terrible background. And the honest truth is he didn't have a great fathering role model himself. And so there's a whole lot of stories I can tell when some people have gone to be with Jesus. Anyone know that experience now with live streaming and that? You've got to be careful, don't you, preachers, what you actually share publicly. But Dad did not actually get fathered well himself. And God started to cause me to see my dad through different eyes. And it was this, that my dad was only showing love the only way he knew how. And that was to provide for his family, to make sure that we didn't go through the lack and suffering that he had. And I'll never forget when the Lord said to me so clearly, and Vicky, he hasn't rejected you. You have rejected him. It was one of those rude awakenings. And so here I am. I'm in a situation where the insider has done a job on me. The insider has been working. Jesus at work, bringing me to that point of realization and revelation. But now it's my responsibility to respond. And I pray tonight for a spirit of response in our hearts. I pray tonight that we would become aware, because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to put his finger on things in our lives. You think you're not getting promoted because your boss has an issue with you, but in actual fact, you've got an issue. There's something that God wants you to deal with. And so I had to respond. I remember weeping and repenting of my resentment, of my bitterness, of my unforgiveness. I remember opening up my heart to God and saying, oh God, I'm so sorry. I've got to make this different. And I saw my dad through a whole new lens. It was only a matter of days later that I rang my parents in Perth, fully expecting Mum to answer the phone. Dad never answered the phone. Why? Because he was working. That's the honest truth. He hardly ever was home. But my dad picked up the phone this day. Now, our conversations were always pretty shallow. If we wanted to talk to Dad, we'd either have to talk about sport, work, the weather, just day-to-day kind of things. And so we just had a normal conversation that we usually would, about the footy or something. But at the end of that conversation, my dad said something I never, ever had heard him say before. And at this stage, I was 30 years old, and he already had turned 60. And he said this. He said, I love you, Vic. I love you, Vic. I just about died of shock. I went, did he say what I just think he said? Now, look, let me just clarify. I never ever told Dad, oh, Dad, I am so sorry. Oh, please forgive me. I've rejected you. I never told him a thing. He had no idea what had happened to me that week in Brisbane. But as a shift happened in my heart, a shift happened in my life. As I got a breakthrough on the inside, I got a breakthrough on the outside. And the supernatural nature of the heart caused something that happened in Brisbane to affect somebody who lived in Perth. And I praise God, because from that point, our relationship grew. And little did I know that I only had 4 more years left with my dad before he died, suddenly and unexpectedly. Jesus had done an inside job. And I don't know you're here tonight, and I don't know what challenges you have and what those desires are in your heart, the things you so want to change. There are single people here tonight. Let me tell you something. Before I got married, I had about 9 or 10 years where I didn't even go on a date. I wasn't even interested. I'd gone through so much disappointment and rejection, and my last broken relationship really did me in. See, some people got this idea, oh, Vicky was just praying until Damien turned up, and then, but sometimes the girl kisses a few frogs before the prince turns up. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. And so, but I'd been in this relationship, and I was devastated. And I made a vow I would never trust men again. Oh, I would say yes, I would love to get married, but oh no, single men, keep away. That was the reality of how I lived. But you know what? It wasn't until God brought someone called Pastor Donna Crouch across my path, and she sat me down and she started to speak some home truths into me, that I realized that I actually hadn't got married yet because of my choice, because of my heart, because I still had unresolved issues from the past. And there's some of you here tonight, and God wants you to resolve some things. He wants you to bring some things into the light, maybe for the first time, maybe for another time. But I'm sensing the anointing of God that's going to start to fast track some stuff. I'm sensing the power of God to do some inner work. For some of you, it'll be the start of a process, and God's going to bring the ones in you. Some of you will need counseling. You will need ministry. None of this is meant to be carried out by ourselves. I feel to say to someone here tonight, you are not on your own. This is not all up to you. You do not carry the burden of personal transformation upon yourself. Jesus is onto it. He is so committed to your personal transformation. He invested his life. He gave him. So have the worship team return, please. So this is supernatural stuff. Isn't it extraordinary? God could work on my dad in Perth as I released my unforgiveness in Brisbane. Oh, the supernatural knows no bounds. The spirit realm knows no bounds. The Holy Spirit is not limited. Woo! Your heart is where it happens. Your heart are where things are birthed and where things end. Your heart are where things are sown and things are pulled up. Above all else, keep your heart. You get the message. Your heart is dynamic. There's stuff going on there right now. We're not just talking about feelings. And I believe in the need to renew our minds, but do you know what? Life starts in the heart. Some of you have felt burdened by the need to, I've got to be replacing this thought with that thought and that thought with this thought. There is a grace that comes from God. God is at work. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.